never quite seen it in these terms, and they're Bible terms. It's a Bible term, and it seemed like the Lord has spoke to my heart, and even this afternoon about this text and some things that has been on our heart for some time, and just kind of brought it to life this afternoon again in our heart. And so I want to give you a few things here this evening. I really think it's going to be a help to us. Will you listen and say, Lord, help me tonight get a hold of what you give to the pastor to give to us. I believe what I'm going to give you tonight is one of the few main keys that if you try to leave out of your Christianity, you're never going to be much of a Christian. And I want to give you something this evening that I really believe could help all of us, no matter what level you're on, no matter where you see yourself or others see you. I think if we get a hold of what the Lord has given for me to emphasize tonight and we put it into practice, we will be far, far better off. I'm convinced of that. 2 Corinthians 13, and I'm going to read verse 11 down through not just the end of the chapter, but it'll be the end of Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth. Here's what he said. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with an holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Amen. That's some good verses right there. I want to preach tonight, if the Lord will help me, on the third ingredient. In fact, it's the last line of Paul's letter. It's what he uses to sum up everything that he's wrote, and the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Y'all let me preach on that for a minute tonight, the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus, I am thankful for the grace of the Lord Jesus. I'm thankful for the love of God. I'm thankful, Lord, for the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of the Lord that has been shed abroad in my heart. I'm thankful tonight you've afforded us, Lord, another opportunity to enter in the house of God. And Lord, we pause for a moment to pray and Lord, to ask of you help. Lord, we know tonight, Lord, without you, we can do nothing. And Lord, I know tonight I stand in need of a touch in absolutely every way that a man of God needs touching. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would fill us tonight afresh and anew with the wisdom of God and the unction, Lord, of the Holy One. Use us tonight to encourage our church. And Lord, I pray tonight the Word of God, Lord, would grow us in our relationship to you and the Spirit of the Lord that you've given to us. Lord, I ask you this evening, Lord, that great, great things would come out of this service. Lord, I know we're just a handful, Lord, here tonight. Lord, others are listening, and maybe, Lord, you could do something with this thought in their life. Lord, our church really, really does need this. I need this. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'd use it tonight for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray and give the thanks for it. Amen and amen. All right, the church of Corinth had a very unusual relationship with the Apostle Paul. I am personally convinced that it was a church that was near and dear to the heart of the great Apostle Paul. And he was invested in them, and I believe very and highly interested in their spiritual development and their spiritual growth. And from the days that Paul had been there and established that church, many things had transpired and many issues had arisen that didn't make Paul just a little bit aggravated. He was greatly agitated at the spiritual state that they had arrived in. This church was divided in many ways, and they had let sin and leaven creep into the church and began to overrun it. And they were in doctrinal disarray that Paul had to sit down and pen 1 Corinthians and a letter of strong, great rebuke to them for the things that they had allowed themselves to become and to believe and enter into. And that church took that first letter and by a great degree made application of the things that Paul had given to them and had begun to straighten their course to some degree. In some ways, they overcorrected in some areas, and there are some other issues that had arisen there in the church. And Paul felt it needful, and he would sit down and pen this second letter that we know as 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians is filled with as many rebukes and dealing with different varying issues that can creep up in any local church. And he spends 13 chapters trying to deal with each of those things one by one and detailing what the will of God would be for their church and how they ought to make some corrections. And a lot of those things had arisen, all sorts of problems among themselves, things that they had allowed to come between their heart and the man of God, Paul. Again, other doctrinal matters that they were getting out of sorts on, and Paul is trying to straighten all of that out. And for 13 chapters, he does a real good job, Brother Maurice. He deals with those things, and then he sits down and he's opening or closing rather four verses of this letter that we've emphasized for our reading tonight. Amen, saying, finally, brethren, farewell. And begins to lay in upon them in these closing verses some thoughts that maybe in passing look like they're disjointed, Brother Tim, from the whole of the letter. And yet, I believe you take out these four verses and the letter would be absolutely incomplete. These statements that are made in verses as we have them broke down for us in this hour, these closing lines and sentences, I believe, have everything to do with the whole of Paul's letter. And what we've chosen to use to emphasize and center our thoughts around is that Paul said in verse number 14, in closing this letter, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. And Paul said, amen. And so there is a trinity of truths that he wants them to lay hold upon, that he wants to be with them and no doubt in them and for them, and that through these truths they will be able to apply everything that Paul has tried to straighten out in their church and in their lives and in their doctrine. It is the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God, amen, that we most desperately need in these days. A right understanding of both, amen, goes a long ways into, my friend, a church being what it ought to be. Amen, but may I say in the days in which we live, amen, we best not leave out the third of these things that Paul closes on, that being the communion of the Holy Ghost. And so tonight, let's emphasize that. We'll center all these closing verses around that thought and preach to you tonight on the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen, we understand tonight that in the doctrines in which Christ taught in his earthly ministry, and he taught often about the Holy Spirit. He would reference him as the Spirit, as the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. Amen. Speaking of this one that was going to come after that, the Lord Jesus had gone to Calvary, been buried, raised from the dead, and ascended back to his heavenly Father. That this one known as the Spirit of God would come and enter into you and I. He would be in us. He would lead us into all truth, comfort our heart, establish us in peace, magnify the Son of God, and live and abide with us forever. I'm thankful tonight for the indwelling of the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Somebody said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you've been saved? Amen. My reply to that is, I received the Holy Ghost when I got saved. Amen. For to be born again is to be born of the Spirit and to have, my friend, God birthed in you and, my friend, indwelling us through the ministry of that one known as the Holy Spirit. And so tonight, I'm not waiting on a second or third or fourth blessed. Amen. I received the blessing of the Holy Ghost the moment I got saved. Amen. And we as Bible believers believe that is the transaction that takes place, whereby, as we preached on last Sunday morning, there is, amen, such a thing as the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost when a man gets saved by the mercy and the grace of God. Amen. We're not, my friends, seeking an indwelling. We've got it. Amen. And so to be saved is to possess the Spirit of God. And to possess the Spirit of God is to be declared justified and saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible plainly declares in Romans chapter number 8, and if a man does not have the Spirit of God, he is none of his. Amen. That is to be of God. Amen. We are indwelt with the Spirit of God. And yet, my friend, to have the indwelling of the Spirit of God, amen, as God's children, we must learn to live in communion with the Holy Ghost. And this is what Paul, I think, lays hold upon. And as important as grace would be to the Christian doctrine, and as important as the love of God would be to our individual lives, amen, I believe we can say in truth and in sincerity tonight, without the communion of the Holy Ghost, you will not be much of a child of God. Amen. And so we must be dependent upon, amen, not just His indwelling presence, but the reality of that daily within our lives. Amen. And so Paul calls in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This word communion's an interesting word. Amen. It means this. It means partnership or participation. And so using that definition, Paul is saying, amen, what I really need you to be, what I really need to be with you, what I need to be working in you to apply all the great truths for 13 chapters that have been shared, is that you would be in partnership and participating with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Many claim to be saved tonight. Amen. And they're not walking in step and participating with that work that the Spirit of God desires to do. Amen. This word communion means a sharer and an associate. It carries the idea of being in such union with the Holy Spirit that you are on common terms. Thus the word communion. Amen, Brother Larry, to be on such union with the Holy Spirit that your life is in common terms with Him. Amen, friendly terms. I'll deal with that more later on in the close of the message. Amen, the communion of the Holy Ghost is, and my life is in union, it is in lockstep, amen, in a common way with the Holy Spirit. Amen, not that I'm hit and miss in this thing. Amen, not that I stumble into being in fellowship with Him. That my friend, on purpose, there has been a union made with Him. Amen, that goes beyond just what I received when I was saved. Amen, but an application of that I received when I was saved. Amen, that there is a common union between me and the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense tonight? Amen, the communion of the Holy Ghost. Hang with me, it's going to get maybe where we got to buckle a seatbelt or two here. Amen, before it's over, Webster said of the word communion, he said that communion means simply fellowship. He said this, he said communion is intercourse between two persons or more as a state of giving and receiving. Now I understand the word intercourse in our day has a deep sexual tone. Amen, but it's not always had. It just simply means that, amen, you're close to somebody. Amen, but there is a deeper relationship than a casual one. amen, that my friend, there is a, amen, there is an inward relationship, a depth, amen, such as what David and Jonathan had, amen, in their life, where though they had been born from two mothers by two different fathers, and yet, amen, they entered into a relationship as though they, amen, were brothers one with another. Amen. This is the idea of communion. Amen. That it's not a casual relationship. It's not a distant relationship. It's not that I'm over here and the Holy Ghost is over there and we bump into each other every now and then. Oh no. Amen. It is the depths. It is the depths of union with He that dwells within us. I think in the Webster, in the definition Webster gives, amen, that there is some enlightenment upon, amen, the very practicality of what communion would mean. He said communion simply means agreement. And so when we think about being in communion of the Holy Ghost, that is, my life is in agreement with the Holy Ghost. Are you listening tonight? So many in our generation, they're trying to get God to agree with them. They use the Bible to try to make God agree with their opinions and their stands. But, amen, communion is not me trying to convince God, the Holy Ghost, to enter into agreement with me, but me laying aside my opinions that I might enter into agreement with Him. A word communion, Webster said, means union in worship, in doctrine, and in discipline. I believe those all are important in the idea of communion of the Holy Ghost, that we would be unified with Him in our worship of Christ, in the biblical doctrines in which we embrace, and in the spiritual disciplines that our life is to be engaged in. Amen. Many want to claim communion of the Holy Ghost without, amen, being Spirit-led in their worship, amen, Spirit-verified in their doctrine, and Spirit-controlled in their discipline. My friend, to be in the communion of the Holy Ghost, amen, is to be in union with Him in all three of these matters. I found it interesting in my study, even this afternoon, of the word communion. This is interesting, Brother Riley. The word communion is only used three times in your King James Bible. What I found interesting, that in itself was interesting to me. And there's other words that give the same connotation, but the word communion is used three times in the Bible, each time by Paul, and interestingly enough, in every instance to the church in Corinth. How do y'all reckon Paul wanted them to get a hold of that? I reckon the Holy Ghost, using the man of God Paul, amen, felt like or knew that the church of Corinth was lacking in this matter of communion. Amen. Look at these verses with me real quickly. Amen. And it'll get us to our text verse, and I'll preach here in a moment. Look back in the letter of 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, and in verse number 14 down through verse number 16. He said, "Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." Ain't that amazing? Paul is writing to a New Testament church. Amen. And has to tell them to flee idolatry. Amen. Brother Tim was teaching on that this morning. That wasn't just an Old Testament problem. Amen. That was a New Testament problem. And it is a problem, amen, in the church in 2021. Amen. And so we must flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. Amen. Now notice what he has to say in verse 16. He said, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ. He said, for we being many are one bread and one body. And he said, for we are all partakers of that one bread. And he goes on down and he speaks to them about this union that we have one with another. And basically what Paul is saying in verse number 16, he is giving a reminder of the communion we have with that of the sacrifice of Christ at the cross and the entrance that we have to his table. Amen. Look down in verse number 20, if you will, where he said, but I say, at the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. And he goes and speaks about and gives the question, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? And so what Paul is reminding them is that in what we call the communion table, amen, when we as the people of God in a local church come together, and my friend, the cup of blessing representing the blood Christ shed, and we take the bread representing the body that was broken for you and for me, and my friend, that represents a communion that we have with the sacrifice of Christ. And if we have borne communion with that, amen, we are to sit always at the Lord's table and to not sit at the table with devils. Amen, my friend, we've been saved. And in that salvation, amen, there is a communion that we have with Christ. Amen, I need nothing this world has to offer. Amen, I have nothing more in common with the gates of hell. Amen, my communion is with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, or it's supposed to be, is that right? Amen, idolatry is not to be a thing that I give place to. Amen, Jesus is my Savior. He's my God and he is my Lord. And I, amen, in the cup of blessing and the bread that we break, amen, gives me communion and entrance into the table of the Lord. And I don't want to preach all that. I'm a bogging down a little bit right there. Amen, but that is the first instance and verse where communion is used in Paul's writing. Amen, go with me to the book of 2 Corinthians again, chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. And look with me here in verse number 14. And Paul writes to these believers and says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what, here's the word, what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I love verse 18, but I leave it off tonight. Amen. What we find here is that in 1 Corinthians 10:16, there is an affirmative, there is a positive. Amen, that our communion as believers is with Christ. Amen, but in 2 Corinthians 6, Paul is writing them again, and he gives a negative. He is reminding them that, amen, you are not to be in lockstep and communion and fellowship and agreement and concord and these matters yoked up with, amen, an ungodly world, amen, come out from among them and be ye separate. Amen, if there is anything that you have in common union with the world and with darkness and with unrighteousness and with idols and with this ungodly world, amen, you ought to break off that common union, amen, because it's hindering you from being what you ought to be. Amen. And so do you see the affirmative? And then Paul deals with, amen, the negative. Amen. And so that brings us to our text verse as Paul is closing out, amen, the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I believe this is the insight as to how we can walk in the light and avoid the darkness by communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My friend, if we're to be in union with Christ and we're to be separated in our communion with this world, amen, we can only do that not in the power of a religious decision and not in the power of our flesh, amen, but only as we are in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I have spent the last, amen, 20-something years of my life as a God-called preacher, amen, trying to shine the light, amen, trying to get folk to walk in and trade, amen, to get people to steer away from darkness, amen, and avoid it and separate themselves from it, amen, and we've got to preach those things, but, amen, I'm convinced tonight, amen, if John the Baptist was to stand it, amen, try to get folk to do what they're supposed to and not do the things they shouldn't be doing, amen, he could preach till he is blue in the face, amen, because until folk began to understand the communion of the Holy Ghost, amen, they'll never be interested in it, amen, much less be victorious in what they're supposed to have communion with. Amen, I believe that's right. Amen, I believe that's right. As God's children, amen, the Holy Ghost will never lead us into darkness. Amen, He always leads in the light. Amen, there's always, amen, our communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen, always leads us toward the Lord Jesus. It doesn't lead us to a more worldly life. It doesn't lead us to watered down standards. Amen, it doesn't, my friend, lower the bar. Amen, communion of the Holy Ghost leads you and I, amen, in the paths of righteousness for God's name's sake. Amen, and so tonight, amen, you say, preacher, I want to. Preacher, I want to walk in the light as He is in the light. Amen. I want to be the child of God that I ought to be. Preacher, what is the key? Preacher, do you have to follow me around and beat me over the head? Amen. And so I'll do right. I hope that ain't the case. Amen. I ain't even interested in doing that. Are you listening to me? Amen. There's one inside of you that, amen, is with you everywhere you go. And if you could ever learn the secret of communion with Him, you'd be amazed, my friend, what that would do to your Christian life. Amen. Amen. Paul calls this in Philippians 2 and in verse number 1. Amen. The fellowship of the Spirit. Amen. Y'all look at that verse. I may not finish tonight. I don't need to, amen, run this on out. But, amen, it's important, I think. Philippians 2, 1. Amen. Notice the prospect, if you will, that Paul lays forth. He said, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship in the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. And so Paul is saying, I'm writing the children of God. Amen. These things ought to be in you. These things ought to be governing your life. Amen. But he said, I don't even know if it's there. But if it is, amen, there are some things that ought to take place. Amen. And notice he said, if any fellowship of the Spirit. Amen. Can I tell you tonight, as a child of God, there ought to be some fellowship of the Spirit. Amen. That's what the communion of the Holy Ghost is. Amen. It is my life, my heart, my mind in fellowship with the Spirit. Amen. Paul would call it in Romans 8, amen, walking in the Spirit. John the Beloved would call it in 1 John chapter number 1, amen, walking in the light as he is in the light. And when we do, what do we have? We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Amen, you can't have that. And John would get even more dogmatic about it. Amen, and say, if a man walk in darkness, amen, and say, have fellowship with the Lord, amen, that man is a liar and the truth is not in him. Amen. And so the communion of the Holy Ghost, amen, the fellowship of the Spirit is an essential to our Christian life. Amen. I hope that makes sense tonight. Amen. I hope you're seeing the emphasis, amen, that we are trying to make tonight by the Holy Ghost. Amen. The communion of the Holy Ghost. Do you know anything about that tonight? Do you know anything about a man walking in step with him? Amen. Now this doesn't mean there is no, amen, there is no lust in the flesh that rises against us. Amen. For Paul taught in the book of Galatians chapter number 5, amen, that the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. Amen. And so there is a battle that rages. Amen. But the only way you're ever going to have victory over the flesh, amen, is to be in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The flesh is always going to be there. Amen. It's always going to want to follow the temptation of the world and of the system we're in and of the forces of darkness. Amen. But the victory over all that, Brother Mike, lies in the communion of the Holy Ghost. That's right. Amen. Do you know anything about that when your flesh wants to go one way? But because of the communion of the Holy Ghost, amen, the Spirit of the Lord puts the brakes on and says, amen, you don't need to go there. You don't need to listen to that. You don't need to watch that. You don't need to be associated with this. Amen, you don't need to have that in your heart and in your mind and in your thoughts. Amen, all that can only come, amen, by communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We can give you a list of things, amen, amen, that tall. Amen. We give you a list of rules and regulations, amen, as big as the Build Back Better program Biden's trying to pass. Amen. And nobody's read that no more than they'd read that big long list of rules and regulations. Y'all listening? Amen. Amen. Listen, giving you a bunch of rules and regulations. Amen. That'll only take you so far. Amen. You gotta have the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That'll put the brakes on in your life when you need to stop. Amen. That'll push the gas pedal when you need to move forward. Amen. When you need to pray, being under the communion of the Holy Ghost, how that'll change your prayer life. And when you're in the communion of the Holy Ghost, how that changes how, amen, the Word of God comes alive to you when you pick it up and read it. Amen. That communion of the Holy Ghost, how, amen, it'll enable you to have victory over things you don't even want to do. Amen. The communion of the Holy Ghost. I hope that's making sense. Amen. I believe this phrase is so important. The truth behind it, amen, is essential. Let me give you three things out of the text tonight. Amen. We'll see how we can do this. But, amen, three truths in these closing four verses is centered upon, amen, the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you're taking notes, write it down this way. Number one, I see the connections in the communion of the Holy Ghost. There are some connections that, amen, will be maintained when you have the communion of the Holy Ghost. And if you don't have the communion of the Holy Ghost, amen, these important connections will, amen, be absolved, and you'll always be at odds with these essentials that you need in your life. Amen. Number one, let me word it this way, say it this way. Amen. That in the communion of the Holy Ghost, it connects us to the preacher of God. Amen. In verse number 11, notice what Paul said. He said, finally, brethren, and he uses a word here that is deeper than it appears on the surface. Amen. He said, farewell. Amen. He is telling them not goodbye. We use the word farewell as a synonym for goodbye, see you later. Amen. But the word farewell, that old English word, amen, means that I'm wishing you well along your journey. Amen. It's more than a simple goodbye. Amen. This word farewell, amen, it means be a full cheer or to be calmly happy or well. And I thought about this, Brother Tim, and for 13 chapters, the Apostle Paul has blistered their hide. Amen. For 13 chapters, he's told them everything they've been doing wrong. Amen. He's pointed out their carnality. He's pointed out their keeping a sin in the congregation. Amen. I mean, he's blistered them up one side, down the other. He's threatened them. And if they don't straighten out and get it right this time, amen, he's going to come down and visit them in person, and he's bringing a rod of iron with him. He said in the end of, he said in the last chapter, verse 13, he said, I'm writing to those that heretofore have sinned. Amen. They was in sin before I wrote my first letter, and they didn't get it right then, and they're still in sin and bowed up and in rebellion. Amen. He said, now if they don't straighten it up this time, amen, he said, when I come again, I'm not going to spare. Amen. He said, I'm not going to spare. I'm going to lay them out. I'm going to get in their face. I'm going to tell them what for. And I mean, listen, and Paul, amen, you read some of the things Paul said the church of Corinth. He was tough on that crowd. Amen. And they needed a preacher to get tough with them. They needed a man of God that loved them enough to say what you're doing and what you're believing ain't right. Amen. They needed that in their life. Without that, they're going to stay on a path that keeps them wayward from God. They need that. Amen. But I love the mindset of the Apostle Paul. Amen. After that, he has told them all these things. Amen. And I love him. I love him the whole way through. Amen. He'll say something he knows has hurt their feelings. He said something he knows gonna stick in their craw. And to say something like this, I love you. Amen. I'm just telling you that because I love you. Amen. And he said, the more I love you, the less I'm loved. Amen. He said that in chapter number 12. Amen. And so what a man of God Paul was. And then when it comes to the close of his letter, what he is saying to them is, amen, is, I know I've been tough on you. I know that I've said some things you probably don't even want to hear. He said, but I want you to be happy, and I want your spiritual life to be well, and I want you to be in a place and in a state and your spiritual life is full of cheer. Amen. What a man of God. You know what Paul is saying? He's saying, don't get mad at me because I told you the truth. Amen. Don't resist the challenge and the rebuke and the exhortation and the charge and the command to change things in your life. Amen. And let's be honest about it. Amen. When a preacher goes plowing up our tater patch, we don't always like it. And the flesh rises up, wants to say, who in the world does he think he is? Amen. The devil whisper in your ear, I bet he's got a bad attitude. Amen. And you'll go thinking all sorts of things. Amen. Do you know the matter that will deter, amen, you and I being disconnected from the preacher that God, amen, puts in our life? It is only died as we live in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There ain't never been a preacher preaching so hard. Had the Holy Ghost, my friend, turn my ear from the truth is a preaching. Amen. Oh no, there's been a lot of times I've said places. And Brother Riley, I've sat there, my old flesh said, amen, I don't like what he's preaching to me. Amen, there's been times I've convinced myself and my wife or kids told the preacher what I'd been acting like all week. Amen, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost, Brother Jack, amen, began to move in my heart. Amen, that communion begins to grow. Amen, the Holy Ghost is saying, you know he's telling you right. Amen, you know, I know that the flesh don't like it. Amen, but he's telling you right. Amen, and I'm glad tonight, amen, for men of God that are telling it like it is. Amen, and preach to me. Oh, it may make me sad for a moment. Amen, but I've been saved long enough to know, amen, that if you'll walk in the communion of the Holy Ghost, Seth, amen, that tough preacher will bring joy and cheer and well-being to your spiritual life. Amen. And so, amen, there is a connection to the preacher of God. Amen. The preacher of God, the relationship with God's man will only be right between us and he as we are walking in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's a lot I could preach there, I'm sure. Amen. I ain't going to finish tonight. Maybe I ought to. Amen. Let me move on. Amen. Because this next point I think is very important. That is, it not only that communion of the Holy Ghost not only connects us to the preacher of God, but Brother Mark, it connects us to the presence of God. Amen. Look at what he said again in verse number 11. He said, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace. Notice there is no period there. He uses a semicolon. And so the thought continues. He is going to give an explanation of what flows from a man submitting and living under this list of things he just gave. He said, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Amen. The presence of God. The presence of God. Let's be honest tonight. We need the God of peace and of love to be with us. Amen. We need that and we long for that. And even the most carnal among us tonight, amen, should that even be me, understands tonight. And but Gerald, we need God's presence and presence of the God of peace and the God of love. Amen. Even the carnal among us would desire to have that. Paul said the only way you're going to have God's presence connected to your life, you got to be perfect, you got to be of good comfort, you've got to be of one mind, and you've got to live in peace. You can't do any one of those four things in the power of your flesh. You can only do them four things by communion of the Holy Ghost. Hey man, the word perfect, where he said be perfect. Let me give you this. I'll finish this first point out and I'll be done. Be perfect speaks of fixing and repairing or adjusting what has been broken. Hey man, Paul has spent 13 chapters pointing out that's broke, that's broke, that's busted, that is destroyed. Amen. And he's give them insight on it. He's give them truth on how to fix it. And Brother A.L., the only way they're going to be able to be perfect is to tap in the communion of the Holy Ghost. You can't fix nothing. You can't repair things that have been broken. Amen. You can't make adjustments to things that have been out of sorts on your own strength and by your own power and by configuring this and that. And if I do this or say that or, amen, get in this such condition. No, friend, the only way you can be perfect, amen, is by communion of the Holy Ghost. Is that right? Amen. I believe that's right. Amen. Be of good comfort, he said. Amen. It's interesting. I don't have time to work all this out all the way, but be of good comfort. You'll study it out. You go home and you'll say, it really what it is speaking of is the consolation of the secret place as one invokes their God in prayer. You can say prayers without communion of the Holy Ghost, but you can't pray without it. You can say some religious sounding words, but you'll never have the consolation of the secret place in your life till you've been in communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's, and I ain't being mean. That's why some of y'all, your prayer life's dry as cracker juice. Amen, that's why it's bored and you've all but give up on it because you ain't in communion the Holy Ghost. Amen, and if all you're doing saying prayers, you begin to feel like I'm wasting my time. Amen, there's no power, no unction, no consolation, no, amen, no affirmation in our heart, the good comfort that comes. Amen, from a conversation with our God. Amen, you can't pray without the Holy Ghost. Amen, again, you can say prayers, you can repeat prayers, you can say things. Amen, tonight that you said a year ago in your prayers, but amen, that good comfort comes. Amen, as there's a consolation from the secret place. Amen, invoking your God in prayer because you're in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Be of good comfort. You can't do that without communion of the Holy Ghost. We don't know how to pray as we ought to without the help of the Holy Ghost. Is that right? Amen. Notice he said, be of one mind. I found that interesting on the surface. When I first saw it, Brother Jesse, I thought he was telling the congregation that they're to be of one mind, but I think he's speaking to the child of God personally. Be of one mind personally. Amen. If you'll do a word study on that, you'll find that this is speaking of not being controlled by various opinions and emotions. Be of one mind. Be of one mind. Can I illustrate it from another text where we find this laid out, Brother Jeremy, real clear by James in James chapter number 1, where he spake of the double-minded man. The double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And James said, let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. And so, amen, Paul said, amen, be of one mind. James said, be careful that you don't become double-minded in your spiritual life. Amen. It's amazing how our generation has lost sight of being singularly minded. Believe one thing one day and then they're living another way the next day. Amen. And if I could give all of us caution in these days, amen, be careful what you say. Be careful about what you say you believe. Amen. Because if you say you believe it, I expect you to believe it. And I expect you to live it no matter what. Amen. We live in a generation, people are so dogmatic one day till circumstances change. Then all of a sudden they're going down a different road. Paul said, don't be that way. Don't let the environment change what God has put in your heart. Amen. I feel some preaching coming on right there. Be singularly minded. Amen. What God has given you by way of conviction in your heart. Amen. Be careful what you post on social media. Amen. Amen. It's amazing what folk have put out there. They believe one day and then all of a sudden they don't believe it anymore. Amen. I'm telling you, Paul's saying, amen, if you want connected to the presence of God, amen, you're going to have to be of one mind. Of one mind. Don't be wishy-washy. Amen. Don't be double-minded. Amen. How do you do that? How do you do that in an ever-changing world? How do we do that in a religious realm that is constantly, amen, churning and turning it, and we're dealing with this and then we're dealing with that? How do we be of one mind? Communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I ain't bragging tonight, but there's some things God's put inside of me you can't shake me on. That's how every child of God ought to be. I don't claim to know everything. I don't claim to be one in this crowd. Well, I'll tell you, if this happened to me, I'd do it this way. Amen. I learned a long time ago, shut my mouth and quit trying to brag on what I do, and I ain't even been there yet. Amen. You don't know what you do. Amen. And so I've learned, I've lived long enough, Gerald, I ain't old, but I've lived long enough to know you better be careful what you say, because what you say, amen, you'll do down the road. If this comes against you, God will make you see if you're really of one mind.
Right.
Amen. I've got people trying to pressure me to believe certain things. They can't shake me. Why? Because I'm of one mind. Amen. I've got a personal relationship with the Holy Ghost. I had a man come to me one time. I'm done. I'm just meddling now. We're off the radio. Amen. I need to quit's what I need to do, but I don't feel like it yet. I told y'all I feel a little ornery. Amen. Had a man come to me one time and our first church, and we were struggling, going through some things. He come to me, he said, the Lord told me to tell you. Amen. You say, what'd you do? I looked at him. I said, I didn't know me and the Lord weren't on speaking terms. Now, I'm not saying God don't use people in our life. I understand that. Amen. But if you ain't careful, you'll blow whatever way the winds are going. And that's what Paul is saying. If you want the presence of God connected to your life, you have to learn to be a man, a woman, a child of God that has some conviction that you're of one mind. Amen. That's good preaching right there. You can't do that. Your flesh will be all over the board. Your flesh is emotional and dramatic. You'll be all over the place. Amen. I don't know why I'm stuck here. Amen. Bob, we need some folk that'll be of one mind. Walking in communion of the Holy Ghost of one mind. Then here's what he said. He said, live in peace. Boy, our generation needs to get a hold of that.
Right.
I ain't talking about the, amen. In fact, I ain't so much sure that, amen, these bunch of country boys in the dance halls and bar rooms ain't got more peace to their life than a lot of God's people I know.
Sure.
Who's going to be honest? I've talked with some of them. Amen. They shouldn't have peace, but they got more than a lot of God's people have. Paul said, you want the God of love and the God of peace to be with you. You got to learn to live in peace. And you can't do that looking all around here if you're not going to be in communion of the Holy Ghost. I believe I'm right in this text. You say it ain't got nothing to do with all of it. I think it has everything to do with it. Live all tore up all the time. Come on now, he said live in peace. He didn't say live in perplexities. He said live in peace. Amen. This speaks of not being tore up all the time. I like that. People's always tore up in our day. They're always tore up, upset, mad or sad or, amen, very rarely glad about anything. Is that right? Amen. Tore up all the time. You know what the problem is? But Jared, they don't know what it is to live in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Their life so disjointed and disconnected from the presence of God that all they have to live their life on is emotion. Amen. I'm telling you, the Lord has to teach a child of God how to do this as he or she learns to walk in communion of the Holy Ghost, how to just give their troubles and their problems and their heartaches and heartbreaks to the Lord so that the peace of God can rule on the inside of you.
Amen.
Amen. There's a connection in communion of the Holy Ghost to the preacher of God and the presence of God. Amen. These things can only come by communion of the Holy Ghost. And when he does it, it connects us to God's presence. It connects us to the people of God. Verse 12 and 13, I don't think is just Paul filling up space in the end of his letter. He said, greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints salute thee. So he's telling them there are people that are in your corner. There are saints of God you don't even know that are watching you and want you to do well. One of the things, and it almost makes me laugh when I read his closing letter. One of the greatest problems in the church at Corinth, y'all know what it is, it was division. There were people in that church that could not stand each other. They hated each other. They're all saved. They're saved. He just called them brethren. Paul believed they were saved. They're having trouble getting along with each other. He said, what y'all need to do is kiss and make up.
Amen.
Amen. So I ain't going to do that. Now you don't know. You know why you can't? Because you ain't walking in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now we're not talking about walking around kissing each other. We don't do that. We're not Jews. If we were Jews, that's what we'd do. We're Americans, so we shake hands and hug a neck every now and then and say, hey, let's go on and serve God together. Amen. That's right. You know what our problem is? Anybody hurts us, I've been guilty of this. I'll tell you right now, if they were really, truly saved, they wouldn't have done that. Let's start judging you that way. Let's start judging you that way. Every time you hurt somebody, we're going to expect you come down here and you make another profession. I tell you, if they was only saved, I'll be honest, older I get, I can't stand that stuff. I don't like it. It ain't biblical. There are ways the family of God can move beyond things in its communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's right. There's some things a conversation won't fix. You say what you want. There's some things a conversation won't fix. There's some things only communion of the Holy Ghost can mend and take care of. That's right. That is exactly right. And we've got, amen, I told you I'm feeling ornery. I've got to quit. We need unity in this day. We've got to have it. You can't walk around nursing your wounds and worried about how everybody's done you wrong. The communion of the Holy Ghost is that important. You let it start slipping in your life. You won't be able to get along with anybody. Amen. You let me go a week or two and get disjointed from that communion. It ain't long. I can't hardly stand anybody. Amen. Hey, some folk, man, you walk in communion of the Holy Ghost, it's hard enough to get along with them. Come on now. Amen. That's right. You say, I don't know nobody like that. That might be because you're the one we all thinking of. It's just the fact of the matter. We're human beings. Paul said a bunch of folk divided. He talked about divisions and schisms and walking disorderly. And then he comes down in the letter. He said, now y'all go kiss each other. I love it. I'm telling you, I laughed out loud in my office. I was thinking about, Paul, what are you doing? Tell you what he's doing, he's pointing them communion the Holy Ghost, saying, you better get back to that because you're destroying yourself.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Boy, I got two more points. Now, that third one's tough now. The third one's tough. We'll get it down the road. Maybe the Lord lets me get back. I didn't mean to bog down so bad, but it's felt good in my soul. I feel like I'm living in peace right now. Amen. I promise you, I've give you more to preach than most of us is living in. Me included. Tim said it right this morning. You study that book. If you study it right, you don't see everybody else. You see yourself. Amen. You let me get out of communion with the Holy Ghost. So I can pick that Bible up and show you every fault you got.
You're right.
When I'm in communion with the Holy Ghost, you go preaching like we're preaching tonight, you begin to see every flaw you have in your own life and go, dear Lord, do I even know the Holy Ghost? Make you want to run to Him tonight and say, Lord, I need some help. Let me walk in that fellowship. Let me walk in that light. Let me walk in the paths that You want me. Let my life come into agreement with the Holy Ghost. So my life can be connected to these vital areas of my spiritual life. Amen.